how quick we can go through this word. I really feel there's a word that God placed on my heart for us. I was wondering, I don't know if I'm going to finish this series before the year end, but if we need to continue in the new year, we will continue. Hallelujah. Now, without wasting your time, I want to go straight to the subject of our talk this morning. If you were here last week, we introduced our new series. So last week was part one, and this week we are doing part two of our series titled Finding True Rest. We're going to be going through this series as long as God allows us. And so we're talking about finding true rest. If you are not here, I would encourage you to go on our website. You'll find this message. It's up already. Or on our YouTube channel, you'll be able to go through that part one. Very, very powerful. I would encourage you to get into it so that you don't miss out the foundation of this series. But I'm very, very excited. Hallelujah. Now, last week, we observed a number of things. And one of those was that we are living in a restless society. Many people are burdened. Many people are weary. They are tired. People are heavily laden. And the signs are there for all to see. And I don't want to rehash my entire message from last week. But if you go into that message, you'll see we spoke about the signs of a generation that is restless, that is not at rest. And because of that, people are looking for a way out. People are looking for relief. People are looking for rest. And we started off, I want us to go back then to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. Last week we defined what it means to be weary and burdened, and I'm not going to go into that. And this morning we are taking it further and digging deeper into this subject of finding true rest in the Lord. So this morning I want to talk to you, I want to build on it. And the subject of my message is the invite and the promise. The invitation and the promise. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I want to talk about the invite and the promise. Whenever people invite you to a show, they will promise you. So there's always something attached to an invitation. People say, "Come to our church, you'll encounter God. Come to my party, you'll have great fun." So there's always a promise, more often than not, to an invitation. So we go to a wedding because we are looking forward to an awesome time. You join schools because you are being invited to come and attend their orientation week, and they promise you that we are the best school in Pretoria, like St. Albans down the road here. So whenever there's an invite, there is a promise. Now, Jesus observed the prevailing situation and he makes an invitation. He says to the people in his hearing, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary." Now, when you are sick, you go and see a doctor. Okay? There are some people who go and see sangomas, fortune tellers. Well, you know, when you don't know how the future will play out, some will pray and they will seek God. Some will go to fortune tellers, palm readers, all sorts of demonic things. What's going on here? People are looking for solutions. When you need bread, you go to the bakery and you buy some, isn't it? Or you go to Food Lovers. When you need to fix your Toyota, you go to an authorized Toyota dealership, right? Now here we have Jesus positioning himself as a remedy for those who are weary and burdened. And to everyone who is weary and burdened, you face two things. Each one of us here, we came carrying a burden. We are weary. We are tired of life. You face two things. And the first is the invitation. And the second is the promise. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The invite and the promise. If you are taking your notes as a good student, put this down. Finding rest demands a response of faith to the invitation. Finding rest demands a response. We will all respond to this invitation. But I want you to know that it's only one type of response that will give you access to the promise. So finding rest demands a response of faith to the invitation. Because whilst Jesus makes an open invitation to the weary and the heavily burdened, one can only access that rest by responding in faith. That is why we must respond. You and I have a choice on how we respond to this invitation. Yes, you are heavily laden. You are carrying all of these buckets. You are tired. You don't know where to go. You don't even know how to step forward. But there's an invitation. What you do with that invitation determines how long you're going to be carrying your burden. And I want you to know this morning, there is nothing that offers rest like Jesus can. It doesn't matter how heavy your burden is, there is somebody who says, come to me and I will give you rest. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, we see the prophet Isaiah looking into the future over 700 years to come. Through the Spirit of God, he was able to see. And now here the Bible says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you without money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So Isaiah unpacks the solution to the many issues humanity faces. He looked into the future, he saw the cross and the gospel. And how that would enable the sinful, the suffering, and the dying man to find healing and rest in times of need. And through the Spirit of God, he says, come to me, all you that are thirsty. Come to me, all you that are sorrowful. Buy some wine and get some joy back into your heart. Hallelujah. So he uses these metaphors to highlight the need of humanity, which are both physical and spiritual. He speaks of water. He speaks of milk. He speaks of wine. He speaks of bread. I want you to know that when you come to Jesus, he does not give you an empty promise. How many of us will go to the website and Temu promises you? Okay, I need to be careful here. But many times we buy things on these websites and what comes is not what was promised. Huh? Who has bought something on Temu? Okay, he has. Let's leave it there. But we need to be careful. It's not every promise that will be delivered. But I want you to know that there is Jesus who, when he promises, he will come right. He will come true. Glory be to God. So these metaphors are there to remind us that you can look for certain satisfactions in places and you will not find it. But Jesus says, come to me, all you that are thirsty, and I will quench your thirst. Glory be to God. Now, he says, come, come. It's an open invitation that comes from the throne room of God. Now, he says, come and buy with nothing. In other words, you don't need to pay a dime. The only currency you need to access this rest that is found in Jesus is a currency called faith. Put this down if you're taking notes. Unless you believe that Jesus is enough to deal with your burdens, you will never find rest. Unless you are convinced that Jesus is able, he is capable to carry my burden, no matter how heavy it is, do you know that we, depending on how heavy our burden is, we can judge people around us and we think they don't know and they are not able to carry this burden with me. You can be so much in pain that you think that even Jesus is not able. And I want to ask you a question this morning. In the middle of your pain and suffering, do you believe that God is enough? Jesus is sufficient to come and meet me at my point of need. In other words, let's stop running and looking for other solutions to our burden. Let's go to the cross. And Isaiah is saying here, don't go anywhere else. Further down in Isaiah 55, verse 6, he says, seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. I don't know what you are carrying today, but who has been your go-to person to alleviate the pressure, the demand that life has placed on you? And here is Isaiah saying to the people, he says, seek Jehovah. In other words, you've got to be deliberate about pursuing God regarding your burden. Sometimes you see somebody and you look at their lives and you can see this person is in trouble, but the person never appears in prayer times. Many people are in trouble, but they don't seek God diligently. And Isaiah is saying, you've got to seek him while he may be found. In other words, there will come a time in your life where you will seek for him and you might not find him. And this morning I'm echoing Isaiah's call to everybody that is burdened to step up your pursuit of Jesus. What type of burden are you carrying this morning, mama? What type of burden are you carrying as a young person? You need to step up the gear in pursuing Jesus. You've got to step up your prayer life because that is where your solution lies. Listen, if you are to obtain God's favor in light of your burdens, you must be diligent in seeking him. You must be diligent in being on your knees. You must be diligent in seeking his mind concerning the burden that you are carrying. Do you know that God has got a mind concerning that issue that has troubled you over years? He's got a view concerning it. You see, when you are driven by faith, you will diligently seek him because you know he can. I've never seen anybody that has sought God and they have not been attended to. Let me give you Psalm 18, verse 6. The psalmist says, in my distress, when I was distressed, when I was overwhelmed, when the waters were all over me, I called upon the Lord. I don't know how many of us are in the habit of calling upon the name of the Lord. Because when you are under the waters, you've got to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, when I was in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried to my God for help. Do you know that we'll remain dignified as long as we don't understand where our help comes from? The day that you understand that I've got to cry out to the Lord, dignity goes out of the window. Glory be to God. David says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Psalms 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. I don't lift my eyes to the waters or to the waters, to the people of this world. No, I lift my eyes to the Lord. I lift my eyes to Jehovah because my help comes from God. I cry to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. Oh, praise the Lord. There is a God in heaven who hears. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven whose ears are attentive to the prayers and the cries of his people. He says, from his temple, he heard my voice. And my cry for his help reached his ears. David says again, I was once young, but now I'm old. And I've never seen the son of the righteous forsaken. Or begging for bread. I was once young, I've been through life, but in my lifetime I've never seen the Son of the Righteous forsaken or begging for bread. I want to promise you today, stick it out with Jesus, because he'll come through. Hallelujah. Come on, now talk to me this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge you today to up your game in terms of trusting God with your burden. In our prayer time this morning with my wife, we shared from the book of Genesis where when Joseph was sold into Egypt, he was a man who was carrying a promise. He had a vision and a dream in which God had spoken to him that he was going to be a leader of his family. And Joseph was sold into Egypt. He became a slave in the house of Potiphar. But God was with him. As if that was not enough, Joseph was sent into prison, but God was with him. Hallelujah. And eventually the Lord elevates Joseph. And when Joseph got married, God gave him two sons. The first son was named Manasseh. And he says, I'm going to call you Manasseh because the Lord has made me to forget the pain of my youth. And the second son's name was Ephraim. And he says, I'll call you Ephraim because the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of slavery. People of God, I want you to know something. When God's hand is upon your life, it doesn't matter what life throws at you. The Lord will bring a Manasseh season in your life where you say, the Lord has made me to forget the troubles of my youth. And I'm saying to you, stick it out with God. If there is a promise over your life, you've got to hold on to that promise. Glory be to God. And I pray for a Manasseh season in your life. I pray for an Ephraim season in your life where you say, the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of slavery. Where I was confined, he makes me fruitful. Listen, you'll be so fruitful that you'll forget the days that you had no food on your table. That's how good the Lord will be in your life. Hallelujah. But he says, I cried out to the Lord and he heard my cry for help. Listen, saints, God hears and God sees. God is concerned and God is able. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you're facing today. There's a God in heaven. You see, the battle that you face is that to every promise, there's a counterfeit offer from the devil. For every promise that you have, there's a counterfeit. There is a fake proposition that looks like the promise. Isaiah 55, verse 2. I want you to understand something, that in your burden, in your times of trouble, in your weariness, there will always be an option B. Isaiah 55 verse 2, it says, why spend money on that which is not bread? And your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of foods. I want you to understand this morning that the devil will present plausible solutions to your weariness, to your burden. And he knows very much when you are at your weakest point, when you are most vulnerable, is when you are tired, you are finished and you're tired of living, and you say, whatever breakthrough comes my way, I will take it. Whatever will promise well-being, I will take it. Imagine you've been so sick for a long time in your body, and somebody comes and they promise you a remedy to your sickness. And I want you to understand that the enemy knows when we are at our weakest point. It's when we've been carrying this burden for a long time. We are so weary about life. The promise seems not to be coming. Hey, listen, you're not the only one. Even Abraham, when he was tired of waiting for the son that was promised, he went into Hagar and Ishmael was born. The devil will always present to you a plausible solution. Don't take up the bait. Don't do that. And I want to just unpack this a little bit for you. Because I want you to know when you are weary and you're tired, you are vulnerable. You need to be careful. You need to be alert. That's why the Bible says, be alert and be sober, for the devil, your adversary, is roaring around seeking whom he may devour. It's when you are tired of life. It's when you are tired of your husband. It's when you are tired of your wife that suggestions will start coming into your head and say, call it quits. Listen, the devil will place divorce as a way out to deal with your marital problems. He will make it make sense. And I want you to know, don't take the bait. There is a counterfeit solution for your financial problems. You will have opportunities of cheating the system. You'll have opportunities of getting to corrupt deals. You'll find yourself gambling in order to gain quick money. So there's always a counterfeit solution to your problems. Now here Isaiah says, why spend money on that which is not bread? There is a counterfeit solution to your emotional turmoil. Solutions like abuse of substance, emotional eating, suicide thoughts to end it all immediately. Don't take the bait. Listen to me. Counterfeits proposed by the devil tend to appeal to the flesh. And yet they are not free. And they will always cost you more than the current burden you are carrying. Let me repeat that. I believe the Spirit of God was on that. Counterfeit proposals of the devil will always appeal to the flesh, and yet they are not free. They will always cost you more than the current burden you're experiencing. Counterfeit solution, they look real. They feed the flesh. They make you feel good. You see, when you do revenge, when you revenge and you avenge your issues, the flesh celebrates and you say, man, he got me. He felt me. And your flesh gets puffed up. Put this down. Whenever you look at your burden with the eyes of the flesh, you will fall into the trap of the counterfeit. Let's say that again. Whenever you look at your burden with the eye of the flesh, you will fall into the trap of the counterfeit. So don't look at your trouble through the eyes of the world, because the world is not interested in your well-being. The world will tell you all men are dogs. Therefore, leave. Why stay in that marriage? That is where we are encouraged to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Counterfeits are real, especially when you are vulnerable. Because you want the easy way out. Trusting God seems to take longer than usual if you think about it. Building a thriving church seems to take longer for certain people. And you are presented by the enemy suggestions on how you can make this thing work quicker. The just shall live by faith. I had my wife praying over that this morning. And I said, oh, she's walking in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. Listen to me. The solutions for the just are faith-driven and not convenience-based. Every time it's convenient, think about it again. Every time it makes you feel comfortable, think twice before you engage in it. So, solutions for the just are not driven by comfort, but by conviction and by faith. In other words, I'm going to read what I wrote here. In other words, the way of rest is not always the easy one, but one that glorifies God and is character building. So let's unpack that a little bit. The way of rest is not always the easy one, but it is the one that glorifies God and is always character building. Every time you want to come out of your burdens through a way that is convenient, through a way that is easy, Could it be that it's not the way of the Lord? And I want you to understand this morning that God, the one who loves you, is more interested in your character than he is interested in your comfort. Amen. That is why when you walk with Jesus, he might not put out the fire, but he is with you in the fire. Because when he's with you in the fire, he's working something out. Hallelujah. He's refining you so that by the end of this fire walk, you are ready for purpose. I'm talking about your burden. I'm talking about that real pain that you've been going through and you say, Lord, until when? Until when should this thing continue? Maybe until I am refined. Until I become a sacrifice on that altar. Do you know that when you talk about a sacrifice, we talk about death? Until I am a dead man walking, maybe the fire will continue. Hallelujah. Maybe for your burden to be alleviated, you need to die. We're talking about finding true rest, Bazalwani. We're talking about finding true rest. An easy way out is not necessarily a God way out. I know of people whose husbands cheated on them, and yet God comes back and says, I want you to stay in that marriage. I want you to forgive. That's not an easy way out of it. I'm not even advocating for infidelity, but I'm saying there are times where God will come and he will allow you to go through certain things. The prophet Hosea, in order for him to reflect the heart of God, God asked him to do things that were not acceptable amongst the community. It was because God wanted to use him. Could it be the Lord wants to use that burden that you are carrying? And listen, you won't be the only one. There was a place where the Apostle Paul came to God and he says, an agent of Satan was sent to afflict me with a thorn. And three times I went to Father God and said, please take away this thorn from me. And the answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. And Paul steps back and says, if that is the case, I'm okay with being weak. Because as long as I am weak, his power is manifested in my life. Hallelujah. Finding true rest in God doesn't necessarily mean he takes away the burden. Hallelujah. You're saying, Pastor, you started well, but I'm not sure where you're going with this. I want to be true to what I felt God wants us to know as a church. Because even the Lord Jesus himself, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was crying out. The Bible says, before the fateful afternoon, in that night he was crying out. And three times he's saying, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup pass me by. And then he stands back and says, not my will, but your will be done. Somebody needs to say that today. And the Bible says, as he was agonizing in the crushing garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says, angels from heaven were sent down and he was strengthened. I want you to know he will not leave you by yourself. He will be with you in the fire. He will be with you as you carry that burden. Glory be to God. The moment he comes alongside you, it's no longer your burden. It's the burden of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's working out something for your good. Now, whilst on one side, you have the invitation. That invitation requires faith. You know, the reason why many people haven't found rest is because they haven't responded in faith. When you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says the same word was preached to them, but that word was of no good to them because the word was not mixed with faith. Listen to me. As long as you don't mix the word of God with faith and you take it by force and you believe it, you won't find rest. Amen. Now, So on the one side, we've got this awesome invitation. It's almost like a blank check where Jesus is saying, come to me, all you that are weary. Come to me, all you that are heavily burdened. On one side, there's an invite, but on the other side, you have the promise of rest. And I want you to know that this promise is only available to those who respond to the invitation by faith. So give me that scripture again, Matthew 11:28. Now it says here, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, all ears and eyes up, listen. The initial reading of this verse gives us an illusion of rest as if it's a gift that is given to you. That's what it says, and I will give you rest. Do you know that the Bible was not written in English? Okay? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. So sometimes you need to go deeper to understand exactly what was meant here. What was the thought or the literal, what would be the literal translation of this? Where he says, I will give you rest. Now, when you do further studies of this verse, you'll discover something that's profound. You'll discover that the literal translation would be, come to me and I will rest you. Or I will be your rest. But that one says, I will give you rest. The literal translation gives you a deeper understanding of what Jesus was talking about. It would have been, I will rest you, or I will be your rest. Now, if we input the literal translation here, how would that verse read? Give me that slide. It would read something like this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will be your rest. Excuse the red, you can't really see it with the lights. So the reading and the rendering of that would be, I will be your rest. And I quite like that. If you're taking notes, write this down and say, the rest we get is not simply a gift we receive, but rather the person of Jesus himself. Let's just Selah. Let's just pause. You know, when you read the Psalms there, you find Selah. It's telling you, bola pants. In other words, just rest, just breathe. Just think about what you've just read there. Hallelujah. So we're saying Selah. So the rest we get is not simply a gift we receive, but rather the person of Jesus himself. Guys, that changes everything. That changes everything. Because expectations change. The moment you realize that when I come to Jesus, I'm not going to receive the gift of rest, but I'm going to receive a person. So, Jesus is our peace and our rest. And when we have him, we can lie in rest even when our outward troubles persist. It's important that we teach the gospel correctly. I want to read that again. When we have him, we can lie in rest even when our outward troubles persist. The reason why a lot of Christians forsake God, it is because they were promised peace. When you come to Jesus, you will receive peace. When you come to Jesus, you will receive rest. They come to Jesus, there is no rest. Trouble is still around them. And get me correct, don't misquote me. I am not saying you will not receive peace. But I'm saying when you come to Jesus, the gift that you get is the person of Jesus. Not necessarily what Jesus does for you. That changes everything. When he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That's exactly what he meant. I am your peace. Even when there's still trouble in your life, you will have peace. That is what the word shalom means. It is peace in the middle of a storm. Somebody here needs the peace and the shalom of God. Hallelujah. So guys, Christ is our rest. In him, we rest from trying things by ourselves. In him, we have the rest of faith, of pardon. quietened conscience, hallelujah, and the filial communion with God. We've got fellowship with God because of Jesus. Glory be to God. We receive a person. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born. Hallelujah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And I'll ask you a question today. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Are you walking with Jesus today? We received a son given as a gift. So when you find Christ, you find rest. And let me say this morning, your level of rest is equivalent to your level of relationship with Jesus. The closer I relate with Jesus, the more I am at rest in my life. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So listen, the rest we are talking about goes beyond what you can receive, but it's about relationship. It is anchored in a relationship. So we don't go looking for rest. No, we don't go looking for rest, but rather we go looking for a person. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering in Philippians chapter 3. That I might know him. That's what Paul was pursuing. And the same Paul says, I know what it means to be in want. I know what it means to be in plenty. But through all of these things, I am content. And he says, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you have Christ or you have temporary peace? So we don't go looking for rest. We go hunting for relationship. We go looking for Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to get to know him. I want to be acquainted with this Jesus of Nazareth. And I want you to know that the rest that you'll get is an outworking of your relationship with Jesus. Do you know Jesus today? Talking about peace. In the last week that Jesus was going to be betrayed, he started preparing his disciples regarding his demise and his death. They could not understand it. They were troubled. They were so grieved. Now in John 14 verse 27, the Bible says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, be at rest. And do not be afraid. Why? Because I will be with you. The preceding verses, he was talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll send the helper. I go to the Father and I ask the Father, I want to go back as the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he says, I will be in you. And he says, peace I leave with you. He stood among his disciples who were grieved and burdened by what was about to happen. And he says to them, Shalom. I want you to know that the greeting, Shalom, Shalom, was a greeting that was well known among the Jewish culture. Whenever they greeted each other, they would say, Shalom, Shalom. I grew up in a church where our greetings was Shalom. And whenever you'd say shalom, you're declaring the wellness. In other words, you're talking about the well-being of the person. You are wishing them the goodness of God and the love of God over their lives. Now, these guys were listening to Jesus saying, my shalom, I live with you. They were wondering, man, we've heard this term so many times. In other words, for them, the word shalom didn't mean much. But they were standing before them. Somebody who would not make empty promises. He would say to them, I will do this and he will come through. Yes, it was uttered by many. Many who had no capacity to bring about this peace. And yet before them, there was a man who was able to promise and to deliver the promise. shalom to you. My shalom I give to you. My shalom I give to you. Glory be to God. Listen, if you go to Jesus, you need to understand that it needs to go beyond what Jesus can do for you. It must be who Jesus is for you. And I'm here to redirect your focus as you pursue rest and peace in your life. Go to Jesus for the sake of relationship and not for what he can do for you. Because listen, even if Jesus does not do anything else, he has done all that he was supposed to do. The moment he died on the cross, his mission was finished. That is why he said, it is finished. It is finished. Do you know that if you go to Jesus for what he can do for you, you might be disappointed. That is why many of us here are not walking properly with God. We are disappointed in God. I've been there where I've been disappointed, if I can be honest with you. Maybe you haven't been disappointed in God. But I want you to know that our disappointment comes because we're expecting God to give us something that he never promised. John 16 verse 33, Jesus stands and he says to his disciples, in this world you shall have trouble. That's what he said. In this world you shall have trouble. But hey, don't throw hands in the air, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's what he promised. There will be trouble, there will be burdens, guys. But he says, I overcame the world. So, if you go to Jesus for what he can do for you, you might be disappointed. He will not always give you bread, but he will always be with you even when you are hungry. Ouch. I want your Christian walk. It needs to make sense. Because many of us cannot explain the issues in our lives because of the gospel that we were taught. Do you know that of all the apostles except one, all of them died horrible deaths. Some were sworn in two, some were skinned alive, some were burnt. They all died terrible deaths, but these are apostles who saw Jesus. None of us here has seen Jesus physically. And you think we'll have probably a better end. The fact that these guys who walked with Jesus suffered so much, I want you to know that we are not special. That's the gospel. He says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I want you to place your faith in something that is stronger than the storms you will face in life. The reason why our churches don't work, it is because we are promising people what the Bible doesn't promise. Let's try and finish this. I hope redirect your faith. Because we've got questions that we can't answer. Why is it that horrible things happen to righteous people? You would expect that a righteous man should have everything going well, a paid house, a good car, marriage great, children behaving well, the job is doing well, promotion is coming. But I want you to know, Jesus said, in this world you shall have trouble. Let your faith be on the person of Jesus. And through that relationship, I want you to know, he will come good in your life. Hallelujah. He will come good. So instead of pursuing bread, let's pursue the source. Let me give you the last scripture. John 6 verse 25. After Jesus had performed a miracle and he multiplied bread, people ate. They said, whoa, if we can follow this man, never again we'll have to budget for bread. Because this man will do miracles. We will have bread all the time. Now, in chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus left, went across the sea, they pursued Jesus. In verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? As if to say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you, right? Rabbi, when did you get here? We missed you. We really want to be with you, Jesus. We can't do life without you. But Jesus sees right through their eyes. He says, truly, truly, I tell you, it is not because you saw these signs that you're looking for me, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You are looking for me because you want me to continue performing the miracle of bread. And Jesus goes on to say, no, do not pursue bread. Pursue me. For I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. So this morning, we need to shift our focus from just pursuing what Jesus can do, but to pursuing him. And as you pursue Jesus, you'll receive rest. You receive peace. Glory be to God. It must be an outworking of your relationship with Jesus. Glory be to God. So this morning we are talking about the invite and the promise. The invite is available, but you need to have faith. The rest is there, but you need to understand the rest is not a gift. The rest is a person. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will be your rest. Come, let's stand on our feet this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now, let's clap our hands to Jesus this morning. Come on now, let's clap our hands to Jesus. He is the person who is looking for relationship with us. He wants to walk with us. Thank you, Father. We've said a lot this morning, but Jesus is looking for relationship. I want you to pray that, Lord, I want to know you because you are my rest. You are my peace. It goes beyond runs and sends. It goes beyond being healed. It goes beyond breakthroughs and doors being opened. He wants to do all of that. But I want you to know, the reason why Jesus came on the cross, it was not that you might be healed. It's one of those things. But the main reason is for you to be reconciled with the Father. It is for you to reconnect with the Father. And that is the crux of the matter. If we can get that right, I want you to know you are on your way to experiencing the rest of God in your life. Come on now, let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus for a moment. This message is meant to just direct you and bring you to a place in your life where your faith is not shaken, where your faith is solid. Some of you here had a wrong conception about what Jesus is about coming to the Lord. I want you to know you are coming to a person. You're not coming to bread. You're not coming to houses. You're not coming to cars, but you're coming to a person, and that is where your rest is. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we need you. My God and my Father, we are desperate for you. We want to know you, oh God. My God and my Father, we want you not for what you can do for us, but for who you are. We want to come to you not for the bread, but want to come to you because you are the bread. We want to come to you, Father, not because you shine, not because you've opened doors for us, but because you are the light. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray this morning as we go on this journey of healing, as we go on this journey of finding rest, we pray that we would know that it is because of relationship that we can walk in peace. It is because of relationship that we can have rest. Father, we pray this morning for a change of mindset. We pray for a change of mindset, a paradigm shift in the way that we pursue you, Lord. My Father, my God, we want presence more than promise. We want you, oh God. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.